Greek debt talks reach a critical point.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, sticking up for labor unions without using the word union. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are mixed at the open this morning. The Dow up 23 points, about 0.2% at 12,647. The Nasdaq down 0.3%. S&P 500 also down about 0.1%. General Electric said this morning its earnings fell last quarter because of weak European demand. The sixth largest corporation in the U.S. says it's going to scale back on European healthcare and lighting operations as a result. Now let's get to Greece, where negotiations are underway right now with international banks in an effort to reduce the country's debt. Greece has to make a deal in order to get another round of bailout cash and prevent a messy default. For more, we're joined live now by Andrew Walker, economics correspondent with the BBC. He's with us from London. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Andrew, first bring us up to date on these Greek debt talks and why they matter.
Well, there are reports coming out of Athens that either they have made a deal or at the very least are very close to making a deal. And we know some of the headlines, or at least one key headline, was that they were aiming to get a reduction of 50% in the face value of the debts owed to international banks. And when I say face value, I mean the final repayment when their loan matures. And there's been a lot of difficulty pinning down the details of exactly how much into the future the repayment period should be extended and what interest payments Greece should make to the banks in the meantime. And as I say, the reports are suggesting that they are getting very close. The kind of figures that are coming out of Athens are a delay of 30 years before the final repayment is made, and an average interest payment of something like 4%, with it very much loaded towards the latter period of that repayment time.
Well, lest we get too far into the weeds on this Greek debt stuff, Andrew, yes, Tell us why this matters in the grand context of the European debt crisis.
I think everybody recognizes that if Greece is going to avoid a very messy default on its debts, it needs a second bailout. And the European Union governments and the International Monetary Fund have said, yes, we will provide additional money, but the Eurozone governments say only if there is a contribution from the private sector creditors in the shape of some kind of debt relief. So if this debt relief is agreed by those banks, then it does pave the way for a second bailout, which Greece really does badly need.
Okay, stand by while we bring in Chris Lowe, our regular Friday guest. He's chief economist with FTN Financial, and he joins us from New York. Chris, from your perspective, how important are these Greek debt talks?
Good morning, Jeremy. Well, you know, 2 months ago, when I talked to my European economist friends, they were terrified of the prospect of a Greek default. They talked about the first domino falling and a financial crisis which might rip through the European banking system. Since then, they've actually become quite relaxed about the idea.
Why is that?
Well, it's primarily because the European Central Bank, in just the last quarter or so, has put in place several features that essentially ensure that if European banks need cash, they can get it, that they can borrow from the European Central Bank as long as they post collateral. And they actually have some pretty significant deep resources available if needed. And because of that, they say, the pressure is now all on Greece to get this deal done. They think it's actually increased the odds of getting a deal done because, honestly, they don't care if it works or not.
Andrew, quickly back to you. Is that your sense? I mean, do people not care if this works or not?
I wouldn't put it as strongly as that. I mean, I think there, that there is certainly a view in the financial markets that the degree of horror with which a Greek default is viewed has certainly faded quite considerably. But I think an orderly restructuring of its debt rather than a disorderly default when a big repayment comes due in March, I think they'd rather see the first of those two scenarios.
Andrew Walker, economics correspondent for the BBC, and Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. By Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
The AFL-CIO has launched a new ad campaign aimed at boosting the public image of unions, but as Elizabeth Wynne Johnson reports, they're not using the word union much.
The AFL-CIO's multi-million dollar ad campaign comes at a time when fewer than 12% of private sector workers are unionized.
Work is what shakes us awake every morning and knocks us out every night.
It makes a very warm impression about the people who do work.
But to labor economist Gary Burtless of the Brookings Institution, this ad is just as notable for what it doesn't do.
It does not really mention unions. It didn't link the workers we saw with any direct action that viewers might take.
Contrast that with this United Garment Workers classic.
Look for the union label when you are...
Today's image campaign steers well clear of any direct appeals.
Work doesn't separate. It's what binds us together. I teach your kid. You fix my car.
21st century unions may be onto something. Selling collectivism by appealing to individualism. In Washington, I'm Elizabeth Wynne Johnson for Marketplace.
And finally, remember the old Monopoly card that says bank error in your favor? Well, according to the BBC, there was a real-life bank error in favor of a school teacher in India. He was expecting his balance to be about $200, but when he went to the ATM, he found he had $9.8 billion in his account. He called the bank to point out the error, so I guess he won't be going directly to jail. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It's the hottest accessory among the political elite this year, but you too can have your own personal super PAC. It's easy.
This is not rocket science. For most people, you want to have a super PAC, fine. You file a one-page letter.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Super Political Action Committees, a step-by-step how-to. Also, the news from Wall Street on the broadcast. That's next time for Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.